put some things such as cocaine or other illegal drugs in your body, not realizing that your heart may have been one beat from his last beat. But because of God's grace and mercy, he spared your life and he's given you another chance. My brothers and sisters, just the thought, that thought alone ought to cause you to have an attitude of gratitude that fill your heart with thanksgiving and your lips with praise. And so when we look back over our lives and we see how far the Lord have already brought us in spite of ourselves, I believe you begin to understand why David says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. He said, all ye lands. Now all ye lands mean everybody. And the word noise simply means what it says. And that is, we should all make a joyful noise of praise of thanksgiving to the Lord. And then he says in verse 2, we ought to serve the Lord with gladness. Meaning God doesn't want us to serve him begrudgingly, but he wants us to serve him with gladness and not madness. Yet many times I've seen folks serving in the church with all kind of sour looks on their face. Some folk come to church looking like they sucked on a sour lemon, and they leave the same way. But the text admonishes the Christian to serve the Lord with gladness. And then he goes on to say, come before his presence with singing. But perhaps somebody may be thinking, but Rev, the reason I don't sing is because I don't know how to sing. But I beg to differ, because every born-again Christian can sing, and every born-again Christian has a song. Now, you may never be the lead soloist in the choir or pursue a singing career, but everybody can sing, no matter how bad you sound to yourself or others, because the Bible says in Psalm 40:3 that he has put a new song in your heart and in your mouth, and that is praise to God. In other words, just like you used to sing those worldly secular songs when you got full of those other spirits, those worldly songs before you were saved, now you can get full of the Holy Spirit and you can either sing a hymn, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. You can hum or sing, oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me. And when you recognize that fact, verse 3 that says, God is our creator, and that it is he who has made us, and not we ourselves, and that we are his people, that we belong to him. My brothers and sisters, it is then and only then will you be able to enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise, being thankful and to bless his name, because we'll be able to say that the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. But what is this truth that will endure to all generations? Well, the truth is, God is good and his mercy is everlasting. The truth is, God is immutable. He's unchanging. And that's why the Bible says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The truth is, God is loving, forgiving, and long-suffering toward us. And that's why Peter says that God is long-suffering toward us, and not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The truth is, he's our creator, who is blessed forevermore. Meaning he has made every person the way he or she is. My brothers and sisters, that means that it doesn't matter if you're a greatest scholar that ever lived, or the most skilled surgeon that has ever performed an operation. I need to tell you, God is still your maker, your creator, and sustainer. He's the one who allowed you to be who or what you are today. And that's why it doesn't matter whether you were a good little girl or boy in school. You never got in trouble. You never smoked a cigarette, used illegal drugs, or drank alcohol. My brothers and sisters, if you believe that you accomplished those achievements on your own, you are vain in your thinking, and you're calling God a liar, meaning you're a worshiping the creature rather than the creator. Because the Bible says that no flesh should glory in God's presence. Now, this is what we call reflecting on God and who he is. And so the question is, how do we change our wrong thinking? Well, first of all, we must recognize the fact that to know God is to worship him. Note verse 3 gives us a little clue. It says, know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us, and not we ourselves. And that's why, no matter who you are or what your status is, we have attained it all. We haven't done this by ourselves, but we can't take the credit, because if it had not been for the Lord on our side, we would have been messed up a long time ago. But because of reflective, objective thinking, we'll quickly eliminate that ungodly thinking that one person is better than the other. Because of who they are, what they have done and have become. Meaning the Christian who is a former criminal ought to be able to make as much of a joyful noise as the Christian with a non-criminal background. Now the Christian who was a former criminal ought to be praising God for his grace and mercy that delivered them, while the one with no criminal background should be praising God for his grace and mercy for keeping him or her from being a criminal. The former prostitute can make the same joyful noise as the non-prostitute. The non-prostitute should be praising God with a spirit of thanksgiving because of the fact that God kept her from being one. So while the former prostitute should be praising God with the same spirit of thanksgiving because of God's deliverance, the bottom line, both the praise of the prostitute and the non-prostitute is the same joyful noise in the ear of the Lord, and therefore the joyful noise of the ex-addict is the same to God as the non-addict. The ex-addict is praising God with a spirit of thanksgiving for his or her deliverance from their addiction. And the non-addict should be praising God with a spirit of thanksgiving because by the grace and mercy of the Lord, God kept them from being an addict. And that's why each of us this morning, no matter where you came from or what you have, you need to recognize that the only reason that we are where we are and who we are today is because of God's power twins of grace and mercy. And so my brothers and sisters, let me say to us this morning, that the root sin that keeps us from praising and worshiping God, I tell you, it's pride. And that's why all pride must be removed from our heart. If we're to praise and worship the Lord with the spirit of thanksgiving, in other words, we must replace pride with humility and obedience to God and His Word. Because to praise the Lord with the spirit of thanksgiving requires a move out of our normal and natural comfort zone. In other words, if your normal and natural comfort zone is that of aggression and egotism, you must humble yourself in order to give God what He desires. If your natural barrier is that of shyness, then that natural or normal comfort zone must be removed in order to give God what He desires. But you know, I've heard a lot of folks say, I can't raise my hand and pray the Lord out loud because I'm too shy. But you see that same person at some sports event, when their favorite team is winning and they out holler everybody in the game, and sometimes they almost lose their voice for hollering so much. But when it comes to praising God, who woke you up this morning, who put food on your table, a roof over your head, and kept the deaf angel at bay, and saved your soul, you say you're too shy to give God some praise. But you ought to be thankful for the privilege of being able to serve and praise the Lord, because you could have been cut off before you were saved and ended up in eternal damnation. And so, my brothers and sisters, God requires us to move out of excuses into obedience to His Word and praise Him with a spirit of thanksgiving. And so He said, enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name, for the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, His truth endures to all generations. So let me try to close before somebody try to take a nap. Had the Lord been good to you? Had He brought you from a mighty long ways? Had He saved your soul from a burning hell? Well, I can't speak for you, but when I look back over my life and I begin to think things over, I can truly say that the Lord, He's been good to me. He's been better to me than I've been to myself. Because when I look back by faith to Calvary's Hill, and I see God's love, His love for me, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died that we might live. And when I think about the fact that 3 days later He rose up from the grave with all power in heaven and earth in His hand, ain't God all right? Yeah, Lord, I just want to thank the Lord for His grace and His mercy. Thank you, Lord, for saving a wretch like me. Ain't God all right? Oh, He brought me from a mighty long way. Not because I've been so good, not because I've been so smart or so strong, but because of His power, twins of grace and mercy. It was grace that woke me up this morning. Grace started me on my way. I tell you, God, He's been good to me. His grace and His mercy, He brought me through many ups and downs. through many dangerous toils and snares. I have already come. Yes, Lord, I'm thanking this morning. Do you thank the Lord for waking you up this morning? Do you thank the Lord for being in good health and strength? Do you thank him this morning, being in a right mind? I don't know about you, but every time I look at myself and see how the Lord, how he saved me, how he lifted me, how he anointed me to preach his word, all I can say is thank you, Lord. Hey, God, all right. Do you know it's all right? If you know it's all right, let me hear you say yes. Say yes. Say, yeah. Praise him. In a spirit of thanksgiving. Some of us take for granted that we're still living. Some of us believe, hello, just because we're young, everything is all right. But I look in the obituary, Lord have mercy, and I saw some young folk names, as well as some old folk. What I'm trying to tell you, there's no salvation after death. It's appointed unto men one time to die, and after come judgment. So if I was you this morning, if you're here, and you, hold on, and you haven't received Christ as your Savior, I would ask that you come this morning. Now, this invitation is not just to get you to become a member of this church. We'd be glad to have you, but it's about if you never received Christ, it's about coming and receiving Christ as your Savior. It's about if you're backslidden, and backslidden means that you're saved, but you sort of walked away from the Lord and the church, but you want to be rededicated and restored back into the fellowship. You can come this morning. And if you want to, Lord have mercy, go back to your home church or some other church, it won't hurt our feelings, because the Lord is going to give us who we need in the first place. And it's not about just joining church, because we got a whole lot of people that have joined the church that's not in the body of Christ. You can't join the body of Christ. You got to be born again. And the only way you're going to be born again, you got to believe in his death, burial, and resurrection. Yeah? You confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And so as we, there also, if there's someone who here temporarily and you want to be a member under watch care, but you don't want to completely move your membership from your home church, we extend the invitation to you. If there's one. I've had some good days, and I've had some hills to climb. I've had some weary days, and some lonely nights. But when I look around, and I think things over, all of my good days outweigh my bad days. I won't complain. God has been good to me. God, I say he's been so good to me. Better than this old world could ever be. He's been so good to me. Dried all of my tears away. Turn my midnight in today. That's why I want to say thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I won't complain. God, he's been so good to me. Has he been good to you? God, I say he's been so good to me. Better than this old world could ever be. I said he's been so good. Have he been good to you? I said he's been so good. So good. So good to me. That's still time. It is ours to extend and yours to receive. We pray that no one leave here the same way they came. Amen. May God bless you. May God keep you, is our prayer. Brethren, let's go.
We know your heart and spirit burned as you listened to our pastor, Dr. Carl Armstead, as he preached and taught the Word of God. Join us in our regular worship services on Sunday, 11 o'clock a.m., midweek service at 7 o'clock p.m. For additional information, phone the church at 337-392-0952. And join us again for an awesome Word of God next week at the same time.
Not an hour, another day, but at this moment with my arms outstretched, I need you to make a way as you have done so many times before. Through a window or an open door, I stretch my hands to thee. rescue me. I need you right away. I need you now. I need you now. I need you now. I need you now. Not another second. Another minute, not an hour of another day, but Lord, I need you right away. If I never needed you before to show up and restore all of the faith that I left slip while I was yet searching the world for more, the truest friend I have indeed. You're my best friend, I know in need. I stretch my hands to thee. Me strong, the feelings of guilt, hurt, shame, and defeat, the waves of trials that beat upon me. But to know, Lord, that in you I've got victory. I need you now. Not another minute, Lord. Can't wait another day. Oh, oh, oh.